Frank. It's lovely to chat. We're going to be talking about 2020. When one says 2020, gosh, what an extraordinary year. How did the COVID pandemic impact Strauss?
Yeah, Sean, I think there are many adjectives being used to describe 2020. A very apt one for almost all businesses, including Strauss, would be to say that it was incredibly challenging. And it was a year that required most businesses to transform their business models if they wanted to succeed. And that very much applied to us at Strauss as well. You would recall that we were about to have our first live auction when the government announced the lockdown. And that meant we had to postpone the auction. And as you know, a lot of our success in the past has been built around these five live auctions that we have every year. So it's a pivotal event for us. It's the first auction of the year. It normally sets the tone for the year to come. It's sort of the biggest thing happening in the art scene after the art fair at the beginning of the year. And yeah, there was a lot riding on us refiguring our business in such a way that we could continue with the momentum that we've built up in the past 9 or 10 years. So after some consideration, we decided to move the live auction to a live online format, and which really meant that we tried to combine the best of the live auctions and the senses of the live auction with what we've already learned in the 5 years that we've been running online auctions. So a live online auction that we came up with is really a hybrid model where, unlike an online auction where you just engage with a platform, in a live online auction, the buyer is actually engaging with the auctioneer as well. And in this instance, we had two auctioneers, one in Johannesburg and one in Cape Town, that handled different sessions and switched between sessions. We had bidders that bid on the telephone, and they were handled either directly or via Zoom with our staff in their various homes. And a lot of people chose to bid online. It was a major event for us because we had a 90 to 100 million rand sale. And never before in the South African context, if everyone ever looked at acquiring works that cost 15 to 16 million rand without having had the opportunity to see them in real life. So it was with some trepidation that we went this way. But in the end, we developed a whole series of Zoom talks to educate people about it. We developed a number of digital tools to enable people to access and interrogate the work as though they were seeing it alive. And yeah, we're very fortunate and happy to say that our clients backed our initiative and the sale was a major success. And that set the tune for the rest of the year in which we could build on. And I think it also sent a very positive signal about the dynamic nature of the South African art scene and restored a lot of confidence that the South African art market was alive and well. So, yes, we obviously changed a lot. We pivoted from a almost an analog people-centric business into a digital people-centric business, where we developed a number of digital tools to engage with our clients more efficiently and to utilize the best that was available to overcome the limitations that the COVID regulations imposed on us.
I suppose one of the buzzwords in business is future-proofing one's business. 2020 proved that that involves digitizing your business, but Strauss & Co. started its digital journey much earlier. Could you maybe briefly just talk about that digital journey? Because I think a lot of your successes last year were built on earlier initiatives.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Sean. That is very true. You know, by the time COVID arrived on our shores, we've already had 5 years of experience in online auctions. We've already held 35 online auctions. And in the process, we learned an enormous amount. We continuously developed and improved the platforms on which we operated to make it easier to bid, make it more transparent, make it more efficient for the buyer. We also looked at new ways to reach audiences across the country and across the world and to bring them to the online platform. We significantly improved the way we presented the works. We developed a lot of new tools through the process, which we then optimized in terms of enabling people to engage efficiently and still almost in an intimate way with that platform, not feeling that it's they're buying something remote out there. They are really participating in a competitive process. There's something exciting about it. They still have that sense that there's something to be won and something to be lost, which was very important in the auction market. So we were also very fortunate that almost 18 months before that, we took a decision at the board to invest very significantly in our technology infrastructure in terms of our ability to handle the traffic that was going to be generated through utilizing these digital tools. So we had new platforms in place. We had a very significant capacity by moving in the cloud. All our staff were kitted out with the equipment that enabled them to participate efficiently. We also we appointed a chief technology officer 18 months before that, which was sort of with hindsight such a fortunate thing for us as far as timing is concerned, because we were quite a long way down that journey, and that we've been engaging with our staff in becoming more comfortable in using digital tools in doing the business in a very different fashion to what they did in the past. So we obviously needed to fast track that there, but there was a very good foundation. And I was extremely proud of everyone. I remember when Annie, at the age of a little bit over 70 or so, presented her first Zoom talk and, swapping screens, and we had sharing facilities with various people. And I could just see all our staff embracing this and really challenging their comfort zones. And in the end, loving this opportunity that we gave almost everyone of the professionals in their fields that they love and know a lot of, to share that love and that knowledge with a very wide audience digitally. And it was fantastic also how quickly our clients adopted to it. You know, we were most probably one of the first, first art company in South Africa that started a Zoom education program and a Zoom information program and a Zoom marketing program that led up to the auction, but also went way beyond that, where we featured artists. We spent time talking about to every one of the museums out there, because they were really battling to get, obviously, the footfall that they normally had and that they relied on. And we, through the Zoom talks, we gave them opportunity to share their vision and what they were doing and why it was so important, what every museum addresses and what is so exciting about the variety that's on offer in South Africa for people to go and see. So it was really actually a phenomenal exercise for us, and I think for a lot of the people that we managed to involve and engage in these platforms. And, you know, I think you can ask any of our staff, you know, we, from being very nervous in the beginning about doing it, it became almost second nature, and it was really, I think everyone learned a lot and grew a lot in the process, and that included, fortunately for us, our clients, and they became very comfortable participating in these fora.
Well, one of the potentials of digital as opposed to an analog or live sale is new audience reach. Did Strauss managed to capitalize on reaching new clients with the digital model that they pursued in 2020?
So, Sean, what we saw last year, which was extremely exciting for us, is that by embracing international platforms such as Barnaby's, we managed to increase our reach far beyond the shores of South Africa. This is evidenced by the fact that the total number of bidders on our auctions cumulatively through the year moved up by almost 50%. So we had 50% more people participating and bidding at our auctions. Not everyone, of course, that bid was successful in buying, but we had 400 new buyers and 400 more buyers than ever before. So that's an incredible statistic for us, especially with the wine sales and the decorative arts. We saw a very significant increase in the number of people bidding from overseas. And it was fantastic when, for the first time, we saw a major South African painting being bought by a buyer from China. We had people from over 30 countries participating in our auctions. And I think that is a trend that we are seeing worldwide through the digital platforms that's available right now. People can participate very effectively in an auction from anywhere in the world. And that is a trend that's definitely going to continue into the future. Location is not going to matter anymore. It's content. And we are very aware of that. And I think through the platforms that we have embraced and through our redeveloped social media programs and everything, we in future are going to cater more and more for a much wider audience. At Strauss, we always said it's very important for us long-term to broaden the demographics of the people who actually participate in our auctions, and also to broaden the scope of the objects that we can put on auction. So we're very keen, and we've, for the last 3 years, have been working very hard in establishing things, in becoming a more pan-African auction house with different content. We're also working very hard in introducing younger people to the auctioning world and the secondary market for art. And it was incredible that last year, the average age of purchaser on our auctions were the lowest, the youngest that they've ever been. And there was a market increase in the number of people in the 20s, 30s, and 40s that participated in the auction. So you're getting accessing a younger audience, a much wider audience. But the key thing for us, we still retained our loyal customers in the past. And I mean, there were people in their 80s bidding on online on the auction, which was fantastic to see. So, yes, it's a whole new game.
So, Frank, I suppose a hard-nosed business question: what were the headline results for 2020?
Thank you, Sean. That's a very good question. We had a very strong year in 2019, where we achieved 320 million rand in turnover, and we were delighted that in 2020 managed to achieve 317 million rand in turnover, just 3 million rand short of the year before, which was an excellent year for us, and which under the circumstances is a highly pleasing and credible outcome. What was also even more pleasing for us is that we handled the most items and sold the most items that we've ever sold. We sold 4,905 items, and we achieved a 73% sell-through rate. So 73% of all the items that we presented on auction were sold, which was a significant increase on the 66% that we achieved the year before. So from that point of view, a very credible and very pleasing result in very challenging circumstances.
What a vintage for wine 2020 was. The two white glove sales, meaning perfect sales. I think you set a South African record with the Paul Sauer vertical. You decisively, I think, let's put it this way, silenced your critics who had some doubts about the wine. Why the extraordinary success?
I think the fundamental business proposition, Sean, is very sound. For a long time, I'm a wine lover myself, and you know, we make a little bit of wine. And I've always felt that South African wine, quality-wise, can compete with the best wines in the world. And we offer by far the best value for money. And it always irked me somewhat that our older wines were not recognized internationally as being competitive with the best that the old world has to offer. But also that we in South Africa not necessarily valued our older and finer wines from the top estates as much as they warranted. So when we teamed up with Higo and Roland from Wine Cellar, you know, we all basically shared the same belief. South African fine wines and older South African fine wines were underrepresented in the market. People didn't know about it and they didn't appreciate the quality. So we thought there was a very significant business opportunity. Like any new business, we had our sort of aches and pains as we started, and we learned a lot through that. And I was absolutely delighted that last year the wines came through for us very, very strongly. And our deep belief in the value and of what we do, and ultimately in the quality and affordability of our product that we were offering, came through, as you said, through all these, through the two live sales where we sold everything. But in fact, I think throughout the year, we sold almost 95% of every bottle of wine, every lot of wine that we offered. And we went much further than just offering South African
wine. That's a phenomenal result, above 90% lot sell-through rate.
Yeah, no, it was sort of almost unthinkable for us in terms of success. And so what it did in the process is we attracted a lot of buyers from overseas for the wine. I think, but pleasing for me is that I think 80% of the wine was still bought by South Africans who then became alive to the fact that there were fantastic value to be had in the South African wines, especially wines that were perfectly stored, that had a great provenance, came from the major estates. And it was fascinating to watch, you know, even on the online sales, you would find that sort of a day before the sale closes, 70% of the wine is already sold, and there's still a very competitive market out there. What was also very interesting last year, Sean, talking about the wine, is the number of cross-category buyers that we saw. And it was for us very heartening to see that a lot of the new buyers that were attracted to the platform via the wine actually ended up buying decorative arts and paintings. And a lot of our clients that used to buy paintings and things from us and decorative art also bought wine. So I think it's a trend that's going to continue. For many years, people ask us at Strauss, why do you continue to sell art and decorative arts and some jewelry and everything? And we always believe that, you know, there's a certain demand for things that are collectible, that are beautiful aesthetically, that are rare, that you know, will enrich people's lives, and that has a value beyond the mere commodity value thereof, and that people who share that aesthetic and the desire to surround themselves with these beautiful things have, you know, is very likely to buy new things if they are exposed to it, which they then become, you know, get to appreciate and then fall in love with and in the end acquire. And that is actually proven. And it was interesting for me when I read some of the art market reports on the major auction houses in the world that this is becoming quite a trend, and that instead of becoming very specialized, the major auction houses are all diversifying across various asset classes as far as collectibles are concerned. So I think it's a trend in South Africa that we've been doing it for since inception. It's proven our business model, and I do think it's going to expand going forward.
The rapid digitalization of the art world in 2020 is just one of the phenomena that is marking change. If one looks at the global auction industry, the category of luxury collectibles as distinct from art is certainly an area of growth. And if one looks at Strauss & Co.'s business, there's three central pillars at the moment. There's the art, there's the decorative arts, and the flourishing wine category. Of those two, the decorative arts and the wine would, I suppose, be considered luxury. How does one, looking ahead, how does one nurture and grow that proposition?
Yeah, Sean, that, you know, obviously the getting deeper into the wine industry was a significant initiative for us. And last year, we also realized the incredible potential that lies in the decorative arts that came with the digital platform in terms of people purchasing these items from anywhere in the world. So Credit Suisse produced a report last year where they looked at the rise in demand for collectibles worldwide. And you would see in that that in terms of the increased demand for these collectibles, classic cars, watches, led the charge towards alternative collecting alternative asset classes and outperformed art, which is a very established and a very old asset class, very well-established market. In fact, the annual turnover on the classic car auctions per year is larger than the turnover that we, as far as I could determine, in the secondary art market. So the increase in the secondary watch market in the last couple of years have been very significant. So there are a number of trends that we at Strauss are studying quite carefully. You know, if we engage in any of these new areas of collectibles, we will do it in a very considered format and taking into account you know, our core values and making sure that we can bring the same quality experience to clients on those things as in future. But I think the demand for alternative asset classes for people with excess liquidity like we have in the world, that is not going to go away. I think it's a trend that's going to stay, and we need to be very aware of that and position Strauss where we think we can add the most value and compete the most effectively. So it's something that we are monitoring very closely.
So between the lines, I'm hearing that there's scope for, let's say, lateral growth in terms of the categories. So, for instance, the ceramics could flourish and become a fully fledged category almost.
Absolutely. You would remember that we started the year with a Monarch sale, which was a white glove sale, and in which all the ceramics were sold. And then we had the ceramic, specific ceramic subsection at our auction, which did extremely well. I think we sold almost 90% of everything that was on offer. So that is very exciting to me that, you know, as new art forms come to the fore and we give them some prominence and shine the light on them and educate people about the artists involved in it, their practices, what drives them, people are getting, you know, they go along with the flow. They learn more about it and they engage. And yeah, it was lovely to see a ceramic work achieve a result of over 200,000 rand on auction, which is would have been unthinkable a short while ago. Yeah, so ceramics has been a very exciting new area for us in the arts that we're moving to. And I think that will continue in the year to come. It's as I said, we are constantly looking at what we can introduce to our client base in a way that's compatible with the standards and quality and practices that we've developed over time and that has served us well. But it is important for us to remain a learning and embracing organization.
To wrap, one of the versions or readings of 2020 is that it caused significant business interruption. But you know, on a more human scale, it caused immense tragedy.
Yeah, it was it clearly was an immensely challenging year on almost every level, and we really remember fondly a lot of people that lost their lives in 2020 that were people that were very involved in the art world. The art world wasn't spared this, and we think of them you know, fondly and their contribution, and a lot of the people were really dear to us, and we think of their families and even the people who are suffering now. So I think it would be remiss of us not to remember that this was not, in many ways, a humanitarian crisis, not just a financial and a business interruption one, but a lot of people lost people prematurely that are very dear to them. And yes, it was very tough from that point of view. You know, we were very fortunate at Strauss & Company that everyone came through the year healthy, even though we had COVID cases, we adopted our business practices. But what I would like to stress, Sean, is that we did reach out last year to a number of institutions, and even though that were involved in supporting artists and art institutions in these very tough times, because, you know, something like this affects every single level of an industry, and the art industry wasn't spared that. So we, in the course of the year, we donated approximately 800,000 rand to 17 organizations that were very specifically involved either in the fight against COVID or to support artists and art institutions that were very negatively impacted as a result of COVID and the restrictions that followed on that. So we've tried to do as much as we could and was possible within our means to support everyone, our clients and people in the art world to overcome these very, very challenging times. The rolling impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is going to endure through this year, reminds us not to become complacent, and we will rise up to the challenge in this year to come. But, you know, we want first and foremost, want like to thank all our staff, all our clients for their incredible support and loyalty during the year, and that will serve us well in the year to come.